This episode is brought to you by VPP Simplified. Now you can get element by element guidance and progress tracking for your VPP journey. Every aspect of the VPP requirements in one easy to use interactive spreadsheet. It has sub element explanations and examples. It has a stoplight status check. It includes three-step verification of completion for each sub element. You even get a notes section to compile your application language. And it even comes with graphs to show current state and progress moving forward. Look, achieving VPP star status can be tough, but understanding what is required to get there can be simplified. This GAP tool will help you do that. Again, go to vppsimplified.com for more information.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. I am going to follow up with another episode highlighting a very effective tool that you can use for incident investigation or incident review. If you recall in the last episode, I talked about the 5Y tool and how that can be very effective. Here's another tool that can be used in conjunction with the 5Y. I'll talk about how you can pair it up with a 5Y here in a little bit. But I want to introduce you to the cause and effect diagram, or you know what we always call the fishbone diagram. So the fishbone diagram is about, you know, find and cure causes, not symptoms. You know, so that's why we want to do a cause and effect. We want to identify causes. So this will allow a team to identify, explore, and even graphically display in a chart and in increasing detail all of the possible causes that are related to a problem or an incident or a condition so that we can discover, once again, its root causes. Now, if you want to follow along with a diagram of your own, mapping out either an example, a hypothetical, or an incident or condition or situation that you currently are dealing with, go ahead and click the link in the show notes. You can download a free fishbone diagram that you can use. This is a template that you can use for all of your problems. Just save it, print it out, use it in group meetings and things like that. But go ahead and follow the link in the show notes, either in the app that you're using to play this podcast episode, either in Apple Podcast or Google Play, something like that. Or if you're listening on the web through our website, there should be a link in the show notes as well. Go ahead and download that diagram so you can visualize what I'm talking about and follow along. Now, as I said, it will enable your team to focus on, you know, what is the content of a problem, okay? Not on the history of the problem or any, you know, differing personal interests of team members, things like that. We often see this problem. We'll have an issue come up in the workplace, and a couple of folks or one or two in the group will say, "Oh, I can tell you right now what happened." And it's like, how do you know what happened? You haven't even looked at the results. You haven't even looked at, you know, what led up to it, what the employee was doing, what materials were involved, and whether materials may have changed, raw materials or tooling or processes. You know, that's a bias that we introduce. So as with any incident review, I don't care if it's quality. I don't care if it's productivity. I don't care if it's maintenance breakdowns. I don't care if it's safety. The only thing you need to bring to the table is objectivity. We have to remain objective, not subjective. We have to observe. We have to take in. We have to consider every possibility until we can disprove it. Okay? So that's the thing, is we have to do it objectively. So this tool will enable us to focus on the content of the problem. It also allows us, or I should say, it will create sort of this the snapshot of our collective knowledge from the team. So as everyone's blurting out or you know, shouting out ideas like, "Oh, I think it could have been this," or, "You know, that's true, but you know, it could have also been this." we are able to jot those down on a diagram and categorize them. And so we can all step back and look and see which ones we want to go ahead and run to ground. Okay. And we'll talk about how to do that here in a minute. But getting back to, you know, what can the fishbone do for us? That's another thing it can do. It will visualize or create this snapshot of everybody that's putting into this problem. We're able to capture that in a graphical way. What this also is going to do is it's also going to help us build support for, you know, whatever, you know, potential solutions we come up with, because, you know, folks are going to see that we've run down each suggestion or possible cause to the problem. We've been able to run it down to either validate or invalidate it objectively. And the other thing I said earlier at the beginning, I cannot stress it enough. It will force us to focus on causes and not symptoms. And we'll talk about how we do that. So there are two formats you can use for cause and effect, right? There is the dispersion analysis type. That is basically, you build that by placing individual causes within each major category. And when asking each individual cause, why does this cause or dispersion happen? The question is repeated for the next level of detail until you run out of causes. What does that sound like? It sounds like 5Y. So when you identify a cause, we're going to put it in a category. I'll talk about the categories here in a minute. But for each potential cause you identify, you can use a 5Y on each one of those. Go back and listen to the previous episode if you are just jumping in. This is the first time you're listening. Go grab the previous episode. Also download that free, completely free template for the 5Y, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The process classification type of format, that uses major steps in the process in place of the major cause categories. So the root cause questioning process is the same as the dispersion analysis type. It's just you're looking at the process rather than cause categories of causes, which I'll talk about here just a few seconds. But remember, a 5Y is something you can use for either one of these. So once you pick your method, I'm going to go through the example of putting causes in categories. So I'm going to give you an example using the dispersion analysis type, but basically you're just going to want to pick your format. One method is you can brainstorm without any preparation. You can just jump right into what I like to call mind mapping, if you will. Word clouds, another example of this, where you just let a conversation unfold with your team, with your group, and say, hey, walk me through this process from the beginning. An employee coming in at the beginning of the shift, start there, and what are all the things that could have happened or the steps they could have taken that could contribute to this incident we're reviewing. And as we all talk extemporaneously, we have to have a facilitator to use active listening to be able to pull out some of these potential causes and put them on the board under a very specific category. So a brainstorming or mind mapping or storytelling approach is one way to do this. The other way to do this is you could use check sheets that are based on data that you collected prior to the meeting with you and maybe one or two other folks doing sort of your own assessment. You can use check sheets to pass out, and where you've done some of this work ahead of time with some categories, and you let the team kind of do the 5Y on each and whether validate whether or not that could have or did not contribute to the issue. So when you construct your diagram, you want to create a problem statement in a box, and it's going to go on the right-hand side of the whiteboard or the sheet of paper, preferably in landscape orientation. So imagine the head of a fish to the right, and that box is where your problem statement's going to go. And then you draw a line, horizontal line, from the box toward the left side of the writing surface, from the middle of the box to the left. So you divide the writing surface, the whiteboard, flip chart, or paper, into top half and a bottom half, into two halves, right? So what you're going to want to do is create branches going at a 45 degree angle off of that horizontal line up and to the left. So sort of creating these backbones, if you will, these vertebrae that's sticking off of the main spine coming off the head of the fish. That's why we call it a fishbone. Kind of resembles a fish, fishbone. Again, podcasting, probably not the best medium to use to describe this sort of thing. That's why I offered a free template for you to download. So make sure you grab that and follow along. But essentially, you have your box to the right with your problem statement, a line from the middle of the box going to the left, and then you basically have your fish bones coming off the top and the bottom of that line. And we're going to have certain categories that we're going to create for each of these lines. Make sure you have plenty of space. If you have a small sheet of paper, that may not work. A legal sheet may work better. I suggest using a giant whiteboard where you can really scribble some stuff down and get it all cleaned up, and then transfer that data when you're done. Transfer that data to a spreadsheet to this template. Make sure everyone agrees on the problem statement. Okay, include as much info as possible on, you know, the what, the where, the when, how much of the problem. Okay, you have to have that in there. Use data to specify the problem. Don't remember, if you listen to the past episode, I talked about bias. I talked about a bad problem statement. Why did Bob break the machine? That you're going to start with the wrong question from the get-go. Go back and listen to that episode on the 5Y tool and you'll see what I'm talking about. So now we're going to draw our major cause categories or steps in the process, production process or whatever task they were performing. But we're going to use cause categories in my example for this podcast episode. You're going to connect those to the backbone of that fishbone chart, remember? So the backbone is that horizontal line coming off of the head of the fish. So in a production process, the traditional categories are machines, which include equipment, tools as well, methods, how the work is done. You're going to use materials. Those are components or raw materials, could be either one. You're going to use people, which is the human element. And so those can be major categories. In a service process, the traditional methods are policies. These are higher level decision, decisive rules. These are rules and policies that somebody would make use to make a decision. You're going to have procedures, which are simply steps in a task. You're going to have the plant. That's the equipment and the workspace, the facilities. You're going to have people. So in both types of processes, environment, that's buildings, logistics, and space, and measurement, calibration, and data collection are also added, oftentimes added, I should say. So there's no perfect set or number of categories. You have to make them fit the problem or make them fit your company or processes or environment that you're in. So we typically see materials, methods, people, measurements, environment, machines. We'll see those types of, like a 6M approach, people being mankind. You also see environment renamed as Mother Nature. And that's why we say 6M. So it would be material, method, Mother Nature, measurement, mankind, machines. But you can just call mankind people, and you can call Mother Nature environment, if you will. So what you do is, as you identify a potential cause to the incident, you would put it in one of these six categories. You would say, well, I believe that this could have contributed. You're going to want to look at the fishbone and say, okay, is that method? Is that machine? Does that relate to the material? What is that? So when brainstorming, possible causes can be placed into, you know, a major cause category. As you generate the idea, or you could just throw them on a board like a separate flip chart and then organize them later, you may find that a potential cause may fit into two categories or more. Either way works well, but brainstorming the whole list first, it maintains this creative flow of ideas without being constrained by a major cause category. So what I've seen in the past, and it doesn't work too well, is somebody goes up to the fishbone and points to the first category and says, method. What are all the methods that could have caused this? And it forces you to think just for methods. But the whole time you're thinking about methods, you're like talking or visualizing either mentally or out loud, walking through the whole process, skipping over other contributing factors, just go ahead and use brainstorm. Just go ahead and let the free flow of information happen so you can capture them as they occur. Again, some causes are going to fit in more than one category. But, you know, ideally, each cause should only be in one category. But some of the people causes may legitimately belong in two places. So if that's the case, place them in both categories and see how they work out in the end. That's all. There's no, you know, just get it up on the board and then you can shuffle it around. Don't get caught up in this, oh, that's a people category. Well, that cause is no, that's a measurement category. Remember, it's about the raw material. No, it's about how they measured it. I think it's clear at that point you identified a potential cause. Just get it on the board and you're going to still have to do a 5-why on it. But just get it on the board and you figure out that the finer details later. So a tip for you, if ideas are slow coming in, use major cause categories as catalysts. So, for example, what in materials is causing the machine to jam? You know, what could that be? So you get the ball rolling, but then just let that free flow happen. So maybe use a catalyst, maybe a starter, if you will, by picking a category or an example, and then just let the conversation take on a life of its own. Remember, once you identify causes and place them in a category, you're going to do what? Ask why. You're going to ask why, and you're going to do it repeatedly. Repeatedly, each cause listed on the bones, you're going to either ask, why does it happen? Or you're going to ask, what could happen? For example, you could say, what could happen if this was a potential cause? And that'll give you a deeper understanding of the problem that may lead to what actually happened, which is going to be listed on your problem statement. That it's a really good way to check to see if you have a potential root cause, something that's valid. You could say, well, okay, what could happen if that went wrong? And then hypothetically walk through it. If you don't lead to your problem statement, somebody hand-fed material into the roller, that was a contributing factor. Okay, well, what could happen if they did that? Well, we have a light curtain there, and that would stop the rollers because their hands would get in the way, and the light curtain was working. Okay, well, then that wasn't it. That didn't lead to our problem statement. As we just talked through it, we validated that. So you could say, why did this happen? Or what could happen? Remember, for each deeper cause, continue to push for deeper understanding, but know when to stop. The rule of thumb is to stop asking when a cause is controlled by more than one level of management removed from the group. Otherwise, the process could become an exercise of futility. Just use common sense. Or in the 5-why example, another way to state this, if one of your answers is something you cannot control at all, go back one answer and you're probably going to put your finger on the true root cause or contributing factor. Interpret or test for root causes by one or more of the following examples. Look for causes that appear repeatedly within or across major cause categories. That's going to be one sign. Another one would be make selections through either an unstructured consensus process or one that is structured, such as a nominal group technique or multi-voting, things like that. We're getting into some Six Sigma process stuff, but you can basically make selections through an unstructured consensus process or one that is structured, testing things, validating things, or basically get a consensus of, you know, who you've assembled that something could be a cause in a category. Or you could gather data through check sheets or other formats, inspection sheets, quality sheets, having contractors come in, whether it be engineers, something if it's dealing with equipment or machinery, have outsiders come in and actually gather data from their work to determine the relative root cause, whether or not that could contribute to your problem statement. So you could have any of those approaches. So there are variations to approaching this. I mean, traditionally you use a fishbone or you would create one in like a meeting type of environment or setting. The completed fishbone is often reviewed by other folks and or confirmed with data collection. A very effective alternative is what's known as CEDAC, right? C-E-D-A-C, in which a large, highly visible blank fishbone chart is displayed in the work area, out on the shop floor, or out where the job takes place. Now, everyone will post both potential causes and solutions with sticky notes or post-it notes in each of the categories. Causes and solutions are reviewed, tested, and posted as to the result, whether they were valid or invalid. This technique will open up the process to the collective knowledge of a larger group and the creativity of everybody involved in that operation, not just inside that operation, but slightly outside in the next work area or work cell, things like that. So that is a variation to the fishbone. So one, you could do it in a meeting. You can invite what we would call a good cross-section, a diagonal cross-section of the organization. You want a process owner. You want people that have done that before. You want, you know, somebody from safety. You want somebody maybe from HR, somebody from training to potentially talk about the people aspect of things. You want a good cross-section in this meeting to tackle this problem. Or use CEDAC to take it out to the floor where the work happens and get everybody's input. As with any of these tools that you decide to use, make sure that you don't get lost in the tool. The tool should sort of just be there as a way to organize thoughts and ideas and help you sort of, you know, drive toward that root cause or that end point you're trying to get to with an incident review or investigation, which is root causes. We're trying to fix the process, not fix blame, right? So what you want to do is you want to remember some rules of thumb that I've talked about before. Focus on the process, not the people. And I know it sounds crazy because it's like, hey, Blaine, didn't you just say there's a actual people category on the fishbone diagram where we could identify people as being a cause? Sort of. And here's what I mean by that. Let's say you legitimately identify lack of training for the operator. Is that the operator's fault? Even if you provided all the training and the operator failed or didn't pass or did a poor job in the training or orientation process or the probationary period, and you just pencil whipped it just to move them along because, you know, management was yelling about needing more people on the floor, and you moved them out there, is that the person? Or is that, again, our process? So when I say focus on the process, not the people, I actually mean it. I mean, if your problem is legitimately one individual, a bad seed, a bad actor, yeah, you need to take care of that, but you still have to step back and go, how did this happen? What did we miss? What signs should we have looked out for? How can we look for those in the future? How do we stop this from happening again? You know, forget the individual's name. You could say employee X, and it was just a bad pick, a bad hire. How did that employee make it through the interview process, the application, interview process, follow-up interviews, offer, go through orientation, training, shadow somebody for a while, go and then make it all the way out to the floor to basically be the subject, the only subject of our incident investigation, of the only reason why this happened was because employee X was a bad seed. So I caution everybody, if you can legitimately point at one individual and say, yep, he or she is the only reason why this happened, that person chose to do something or not do something that everybody else in here chooses to do or not do, and that is the only reason why, then you still have a process problem. So that's what I mean by focus on the process, not the people. The minute you can excuse something from for happening that you can't, you just shrug and say, oh, that's why it happened, then that's a slippery slope. You can do that for most things. You really have to dig deep. You have to really focus on fixing these processes. And these tools can help. They are just an aid. They don't replace the effort and energy that goes into this and the discipline that it takes to remain objective and to see everything through to its logical conclusion, these tools will help organize these thoughts and ideas and help streamline a path and visualize a path to that end. So these tools are very, very important, but they do not replace the right people being involved and making sure that those people involved are spun up on what we are and are not here to do. So always have a kickoff meeting, always have a brief coaching session for those who have not been exposed to this type of process before you start an event, whether it's a Kaizen event, a rapid improvement event, or an incident investigation, doesn't matter, right? Always have a quick coaching session up front and use a couple of examples and have a really, really strong moderator who doesn't control the conversation but can steer it and nudge it when needed, or who uses active listening and lets the conversation take place, only picking out things that are need to go on this diagram in a category, but still allows this conversation to take place. Because, you know, you're going to have people that have very strong emotions, very strong opinions, and that's okay. That's okay. There, as long as it's done respectfully and professionally, you know, people are going to have to get through this kind of venting process and getting things off their chest. You just have to have a good moderator or facilitator to help facilitate or move this thing along, you know, in the right direction. So don't get bogged, don't get caught up in this whole, it's got to be clinical and it's got to be a sanitized process, devoid of emotion and inflection. That's not it. That's actually not it at all. But what we can use these tools to do is to help organize our thoughts in a logical way, in a graphical way, to allow us to go out and test these theories. These are assumptions that we're making. We're going to go test them. We're going to either validate or invalidate them, and they are what they are, and they are going to arrive. We have to arrive at a logical conclusion. So, hey, go get the template. Use it with the 5-Why template. Use a fishbone diagram for a safety review. Identify potential causes and put them in the right categories. And then for each potential cause, you do the 5-Why. So if you have 37 different potential causes contributing to the head of this fish, right, you're going to need a 5-Why on each one of them. But these tools will help. These two tools together are, in my experience of, you know, more than 25 years in the industry, my experience tells me these, and I've seen these are the two most frequently used tools. Yeah, you're going to go listen to some gurus out there. You're going to go to a keynote speech, you know, 15 minutes of somebody speaking, or you're going to, you know, get the latest, greatest book that says, you know, we're going to take this, you know, a holistic approach to things. And that's great. But when it comes down to it, when you have to identify potential root causes to an incident that occurred and you have to show that you've been able to do this to regulators or, God forbid, attorneys, you're going to need these tools to capture this information. You know, take whatever mindset approach you want. You're going to still need these tools to gather all this information, organize it in a logical way, and be able to reach a logical conclusion. So hit that link in the show notes. Download the fishbone diagram. Don't be afraid to share this episode with those that you think might be, you know, in need of this type of information or could use some of these tools. Don't forget to go back and check out the 5-Why episode as well. Free template there. Use these two together. And I will continue to try to expose the listeners to different tools that we use in the industry to help us become better companies, better employers, better employees, and continue to strive to keep our employees safe while they do the hard work that we need them to do. Drop me a note. Email link is also in the show notes. I get a lot of feedback from folks. Every week I get emails. Well, every time I drop a new episode, I get emails with questions, folks sharing their experience with something they just listened to. It's really exciting. Podcasting is a very strange medium. As I'm kind of staring at my soundproof, you know, studio, recording studio I've built for myself here in my office, and I'm looking at some notes there's nobody here to talk to. It's like you're talking out into the ether. But when I get the emails and I get the reviews, the ranking and reviews on, you know, Apple Podcasts, it validates that, you know, we're onto something here. I think a lot of us are just seeking some of this information. You know, what are the tools and tips and tricks we can use in the industry to keep our employees safe? And, you know, I think we should be sharing more of this, and I'm happy to do that. So, to that point, if you have something you would like to hear more of or would like to hear examples of, don't be afraid to shoot me an email, okay? And be sure, if you haven't already done so, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you're just listening for the first time, hit that little subscribe button. It means a lot. It helps validate that we're on the right track here, but it also makes sure that you don't miss another episode. That's all I've got for this one. I hope you enjoy the fishbone diagram, and I hope you share your stories on how you've used this going forward. But until next time, be safe.